Hello, everyone. Welcome to Parkside Today. I'm John Melke. It's my pleasure to welcome the Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities here at UW Parkside, Hines Walker, and Dr. Laura Rexroth, Assistant Professor in the Music Department and also the UW Parkside Director of Bands. Dean Hines Walker, Dr. Rexroth, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you very much.
Laura, you joined the music faculty at UW Parkside in 2014. In addition to your duties as conductor of the UW Parkside Wind Ensemble and UW Parkside Community Band, you teach courses in world music, music education, music history, and conducting. And Dean Hines Walker, you previously served as associate dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences at Indiana University, South Bend.
That's correct. It was a great job, but I've got even a better one now.
That's good. And we're lucky to have both of you here. A lot of things going on in the month of March at UW Parkside when it comes to the fine arts, and probably especially when it comes to music, and we're going to touch on a number of those things today. But to kick things off, this week we open You're in Town on March 8th, and Dean Hines Walker, tell us a little bit of, that's an interesting name for a theater production. Tell us about You're in Town.
It's going to be a wonderful musical. It's a dystopic musical, which is not often what happens in musicals. They tend to be sometimes a little bit lighter. But this one is set in a time, maybe not so far away, when the world is suffering from a drought. And the drought makes it so that water becomes very expensive. And if you can't afford to pay for water, if you can't afford to pay for water, you go to some kind of exile or some sort of limbo somewhere.
And it opens on March 8th. Mm-hmm. And runs for 2 weekends, correct?
That's right. And that's typically the way we do it in the theater department. We typically, it depends, sometimes we'll run a Thursday through Sunday, sometimes a Friday through Sunday. But in those 2 weekends, we also usually have a matinee. And let me see if I can, and the matinee is going to be, let me see, I'm trying to look here. It's March 15th, the matinee at 10 a.m.
Okay. And is You're in Town in the main stage theater?
Yep, it's an amazing set, as often are our sets on the main stage. And the costuming is also going to be extraordinary. So I encourage everybody to come out and take a look.
Sounds good. And Dr. Rexroth, on Thursday, March 14th, you have an event coming up. Tell us about that.
We do. This is part of our regular concert series. Half of a performance, or half the concert, will be the Wind Ensemble, the student group here on campus, are mostly music majors, but some non-majors. And then the second half is our adult band, the Parkside Community Orchestra. We're observing two anniversaries for this. One is the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11, which is coming up this summer. We have a piece by a marvelous, internationally known composer, Libby Larson. She wrote a piece called An Introduction to the Moon, and it combines poetry of all kinds, composed sections for the wind ensemble, and some improvisation that the members of the ensemble can do. So I've invited my wonderful colleague, Lisa Kornetsky, Professor Emeritus in the theater department, to come and read the poems. She's involved in selecting some of the sections of the poems and interpretation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds like an all-woman lineup.
Not quite. The other anniversary we're going to observe is kind of a memorial anniversary. It's the 150th anniversary of the death of Hector Berlioz, marvelous French composer of the 19th century. And in 1843, he was commissioned by the French government to write a piece for band commemorating the July Revolution and moving the remains of those heroes from where they were interred into the newly built Bastille Column in downtown Paris. So there's three movements. The first movement is a funeral march, which Berlioz conducted marching backwards in front of a very large ensemble as they went through the streets of Paris. And then at the ceremony spot is a lovely kind of oration, an operatic oration, solo trombone and wind ensemble. And we have a principal trombone from Great Lakes Naval Station, recently retired, Ryan Rignalda, who's going to be our soloist. And then the third movement is Apotheos. And so it is Berlioz in its grand form with this tremendous fanfare and percussion that start the whole piece.
How frequent is a trombone solo in band music?
Not unfrequent, but in a situation of it being coming out front. And it is very similar if you were in an opera and the grand performer stepped forward. So we're doing what's called a recitative accompaniment. So you get to hear a very prominent voice in the trombone. And then we play chord, you know, or some small. So it's a 19th century romantic opera kind of presentation.
And do you know which revolution they're celebrating? Is it the 1789 revolution or 1830?
1830.
Yeah. That's what I thought. So for all of those out there in our audience who are not familiar with all of the revolutions that happened in France, you've got a revolution 1789, you've got a revolution in 1830, you've got another revolution in 1848, and then we finally had the Third Republic and fewer revolutions in 1870.
And Les Mis.
Les Misérables.
And Dean Hines Walker, for those who may not know your academic discipline is in French literature?
Correct, yeah, French literature, and I wrote a dissertation on the French Revolution.
So that's why you knew all of those revolution dates.
Yeah.
It was like a quiz. I wanted to see how you would do with that. That was
Revolution was in the air for several decades, and of course that's where ours comes from. That's where Jefferson and Adams and those people, they were very sharp and they did a lot of things for themselves, but France started it.
Yeah.
And some of those ideas minted their way across the ocean.
Interesting. And I want to get back to the community band there for a second, but before we do that, I want to kind of stay in the little chronological order here. On March 16th, we have the Betsy Brown Artist in Residence, Paul Cortese, and Dean Hines Walker. What can you tell us about that event?
Well, first of all, we're extremely excited because this is the first year we're going to be able to do this. And thanks to Betsy Brown, Howard Brown's widow, she established a fund that's going to allow us to invite an artist in residence every year or maybe every other year, depending on how ambitious we want to be with the invitation. But so this will be the first year that we're going to be able to do this. And Paul Cortese is a graduate of the Kenosha schools. I believe the high school is Tremper. And he's a violist. So we're excited to invite him back to kick off this inaugural concert and artist in residency.
I thought it was a little maybe interesting that apparently right now he's an artist in residence in Barcelona.
Well, I think he's in residence in Barcelona. He actually lives in Barcelona.
Lives in Barcelona,
yeah.
And he's a viola player, and we have Alvaro Garcia from Spain, a viola player. I just thought
that was
kind of interesting that we have that.
Did they
know each other at all before this or not?
It's my understanding that Alvaro knows the family. Alvaro Garcia knows the family. This is a family that's been in Kenosha for a long time, the Cortezes. And I believe his brother is also a musician.
Okay.
So, again, just this speaks volumes to the great education in the Kenosha schools that the kids get in music here.
Sure.
So we're happy to have the concert, and that's on the 16th, but he'll be here for the week. And during that week, he'll be doing master classes for us and in the Kenosha schools as well.
And how did we make that connection with him? Was that someone in here at Parkside that knew of him?
Yeah. Alvaro. It was Alvaro's connection. I mean, the world isn't filled with so many violists that they don't know each other, and they're approximately, I think, the same age. So he knows about Paul, and he invited. We just thought that he would be perfect to celebrate Howard Brown's life, a man who gave so much to the Kenosha community with generosity of spirit and wit and charm. Mm-hmm. And so we thought this was just a great way to kick off this, this, like I say, annual or every 2 year artist in residency for Parkside that her generous gift makes possible.
And for those who don't know, Alvaro Garcia on the UW Parkside faculty here and conducts the UW Parkside Symphony.
Right. And orchestras. Yeah.
And orchestra. So now we'll jump into the alumni band, because when I read the description for some of the media announcement that we were putting out, and I saw it's a full day event, which that was kind of the first thing that jumped out at me a little bit. Laura, where did that idea come from? How did you decide to say, okay, let's go in this direction with an alumni band day here at UW Parkside?
Well, I've been a part of alumni bands as an alum from different universities that I attended.
Mm-hmm.
I was a music major as an undergraduate and a master's and a doc. Sometimes these festivals are to commemorate someone who's retiring, that kind of thing. But quite often it's a wonderful thing to pull together a lot of people for an anniversary. So mm-hmm. I started thinking about what could I do specifically as an instrumentalist, and how could I involve a lot of people?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sending out invitations, email, address. We kind of were able to put together an alumni list in a very creative way. So I'm hoping we're going to reach everybody possible. Mm-hmm. We're sending announcements out to the local newspapers now simply for a call.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like people to know is there's always been concert band instruments in the jazz area as well. And the history, I don't know the entire history of the college, but quite often you've got people playing in both organizations all the time, and we have that now.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who has played an instrument that is appropriate to the concert band. So if you're in the jazz ensemble, and mm-hmm. you're playing a brass or a wind instrument, we're looking for anybody who has participated. Some people have asked me, do you have to be an official alum? I went for 2 years. The answer is we'd like to just invite people who were there and participating.
Right.
And one of the neat aspects is I've been working with Oliver Johnson, who's wonderful at putting some of these forms together. So he had the idea of an area where we could collect people's stories, and that's been really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping for, 200 or so musicians. It is a full day because people will come in. They'll have an opportunity to have some social interchange at various points in the day, including a nice reception afterwards. So you come in and we have the rehearsal. And
I was wondering where the rehearsal. I thought somewhere we have to rehearse.
We're
right?
going to play and we're going to be programming some oldies, some War Horses, wonderful things. One of them is the Gustav Holst Second Suite in F, which the majority of someone who's gone through high school and college band will have played.
Mm-hmm.
Also a marvelous romantic work by Pavel Cheshnikov, Russian composer, also 19th century. Salvation is created, originally a choral work, and it's just very rich and gorgeous. And then we're going to throw some newer things at the membership that they probably haven't played before.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to try to have as many people involved as possible. So I've invited my predecessor, Mark Eichner, who is the emeritus director of bands here.
Mm-hmm.
He will be guest conducting. So it's going to be a full day. It's a really kind of fun thing to do. It's a high energy thing. People come in. And when you're a music major, you tend to have colleagues and acquaintances across grade levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're class of 84, you know everybody on either side.
Yeah.
And so you get this whole mixture of people. So I think it's going to be a great event musically and socially.
Mm-hmm. And you're hoping to get the word out via some of the regional media here. What are some of the other ways are using, like, our Facebook pages social media?
We've already done Facebook and we'll continue to do that. This summer I was doing some research and discovered that we did not have a database of musicians.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues had the brilliant idea of going into our official records here, our registration through Solar. And that proved to be very successful.
Matching
those names with some of the information that the university has. And so we're sending things out to a couple thousand different people.
Interesting. And the day of the actual alumni band event is?
Saturday, May 11.
Saturday, May 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how, if someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the, you know, hears this and says, oh, I'd be interested in doing that, who should they contact or call or email?
They can definitely contact me. They can email me through the university.
Okay.
And we can go from there. We have an electronic form that people can, and when we send things out to the newspapers, web address will be there. People can go there and fill out the form electronically, but they can definitely call me.
Sure. Okay. So if they go to the Parkside website, little search box at the top, put in Rex Roth, R-E-X-R-O-T-H, you'll come up and they'll be able to find you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And
great.
Laura, the concert, is that going to be on the main stage? Or is it going to be in the Bedford?
That concert will be in our Bedford Hall.
Oh, my God.
And
oh,
we may have to.
So it's going to be full then,
yeah,
right?
It's going to be full.
Yeah, I better get your tickets now because this is going to be a great event. And if it's going to be in the Bedford, it will be full.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was thinking if there's 200 musicians, do we have to blow out the walls on the stage? Or can we
have them up and down and sideways?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That would be incredible.
And I was going to add, one of the hallmarks of Laura's, I was directing and conducting, is that she likes to pick some new pieces that people aren't always familiar with. So it's a great opportunity, a great learning opportunity when you attend one of Laura's concerts, because she does have these great pieces that everyone recognizes, but then she has a lot of new composers in the work that you do. And so for me, as the dean of a college, that's always exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then we move to, because that's having all those things going on in March. But wait, there's more of March because we're only about halfway through when we get to the 16th for the Betsy Brown Artist in Residence. And we're not doing the community band until May. So we've got plenty of time left in March. And we get into Jazz Week.
Yes, and, which we're very excited about this year.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about that. I mean, it's a variety of performers coming in, performing jazz all week long, and it's a great chance for the community. If you can't make it out on Monday or there's always an opportunity to come out.
Right. So 7 p.m. and Jazz Week starts on March 19, and I believe runs through. I think that's going to be March 23rd. Am I going to be right about that? I don't want to misspeak. Let me see. I've got it runs through Saturday in any case. So March 19th. And what's wonderful about Jazz Week is just the extraordinary variety that our jazz professor, Russ Johnson, brings to Parkside. So this year we're going to have concerts all 5 nights. The first nights, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, are free. And these are going to be, I won't read the entire lineup just because that's going to be confusing and it's going to be long, but I want to say that these are folks that are out there working jazz people throughout the country. He's got folks coming in from New York, Chicago, basically New York and Chicago this time. I'm excited. I'm going to say her name is Chris Davis, and Chris Davis is a pianist. As you probably know, there aren't always a lot of women in jazz, I'm commending Russ for inviting Chris, and it's called the Borderlands Trio, and that'll be on Wednesday night, March 20th. So that's going to be a little bit of excitement. What happens each night is that there's a set, and then after the set, there is opportunity for a conversation. So it also kind of evolves into a sort of master class for the audience. So people get an opportunity to ask the musicians about how they do X, Y, or Z, how their careers have evolved, how to get an agent. I mean, all of these kinds of things that young musicians and maybe not so young musicians care about.
Yeah.
So this is just a really great opportunity to hear top-notch national and international jazz.
Yeah, And I know last year, not basically a year ago, and we had Russ on the program talking about Jazz Week for 2018, and just thinking about the relationships that, whether it's Russ with Jazz Week, whether it's Laura, what you've put together with the community band and the community connections, it's like it's all about those relationships, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to continue about these relationships, we are really excited that we have a noon concert. That's part of a noon concert series that we do here at Parkside throughout the semester every Friday at noon. Mm-hmm. So this Friday, the Friday of Jazz Week, which will be March 22nd, our jazz professors will all be playing. So that will be a real treat. So everybody in the jazz studio will be playing, including Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And then that evening, we have invited the high schools, the jazz ensembles from the Kenosha High Schools. So we'll have Tremper, we'll have Indian Trail, we will have
Bradford,
and Wilmot. So we'll have those four high schools in the house.
Wow.
So that's going to be, you know, super exciting too. This idea that we all of our professors, our musicians at Parkside work with the local high schools,
mm-hmm.
and just to encourage, you know, continuous growth and exploration in music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always very special when the high school jazz bands are in the house.
Right. Now I'm going to go off the top of my head here, and I hope I'm doing this right. There's also a dance troupe involved with Jazz Week, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah,
so our headliner, who is Greg Ward, will be performing with Ozu, Anya Ozu, and that's a dance troupe
mm-hmm.
that will. So the band will play behind, and then there will be this dance going on in front. And it's mostly an African American group from out of Chicago.
Wow. And do the guests, our guests here for Jazz Week, are they also interacting with Parkside students at the same time?
Yep. There are, throughout the day, they've got scheduled, again, these kinds of master classes,
right.
opportunities for them to play with these folks, opportunities for them to hear these folks, for these professional musicians to work with the students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I could just jump in, because jazz festivals are fairly common these days, but I can just say that my colleague, Russ Johnson, has such an incredible knack for bringing artists that are at the top of their game nationally, mm-hmm. sometimes mm-hmm. internationally, but they are always people who work well with students. They excite our students. They teach mm-hmm. well. They're very welcoming, you know, at the same time as pushing their artistry. And having the students kind of bring their game, their A game as well. And then when you involve the public school students,
right.
still,
right.
these artists are able to work with high school level students in the same way. And that's kind of unusual. So that this lovely circle of education within Jazz Week is kind of unusual
yeah.
and wonderful.
And it amazes me that when you think about the quality of the talent that's coming
mm-hmm.
in for Jazz Week, and you're going to come to Parkside and pay basically, for the most part, nothing.
Pretty much,
pretty
right.
much nothing.
So
here's some great world-class jazz.
Yeah.
How do you can't almost get any better than that.
Yeah, you can't. And we also have to mention the Bedford Hall, too. The hall that you're going to hear the jazz
yeah.
in couldn't be better. So, I mean, this is such a great, it's such a great venue. It is such, I mean, it's such a wonderful opportunity and really a gift to our community that Russ is able to put this together for an entire week this year. Again, part of our 50th celebration, our mm-hmm. anniversary, is we've pulled out all the stops for Jazz Week this year.
Yeah, fantastic. Laura, when you came to Parkside, did you envision the developing the connections with the community, with community musicians, with Parkside groups, or was that something that evolved once you got here? Was that like a plan that, oh, I'm going to do this?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons I was very attracted to coming to Parkside is because the department has a branch of each discipline has its own community organization already in place. Mark Eichner founded the community band in 1990. Mm-hmm. We also have a community orchestra, a community choral ensemble. And one of the things that attracted me was the Parkside statement that I kept hearing about, you know, being in the community and bringing the community to campus.
Yeah.
I'm the product of studying with several kind of grand old men in the business who were very active in starting and continuing community bands, some of who have become very famous, John Painter at Northwestern University, and the organization that he founded, which is you can't get into. It's like trying to get season tickets to, you know, Green Bay Packers or something as far as membership goes. And community bands in the United States have kind of had a resurgence in the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the things that I look forward to every week. And these people come from their jobs all day long and come, and we have a 2.5-hour rehearsal. And the music making is so joyous and so enjoyable.
Yeah.
And they are so willing to try new things.
Oh, uh-huh.
So that was already in place, and I have had the pleasure of keeping it going, growing it a bit in membership. But it's a wonderful thing.
And it looks like, having been a person who used to play an instrument, I don't anymore, and kind of feel bad that I should like dedicate more of myself to doing that, but I haven't. But if you love playing music, and you get beyond a high school, a college level, and you're not going to be playing professionally, there aren't that many outlets really to be able to participate in that. And here is an outlet for you to participate if that's what you love to do.
Yes, and what you said used to be true, but the good news is that there are quite a few outlets, and particularly
good.
In the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The first tradition of community bands in the United States was, as you suspect, on the East Coast.
Mm.
And, for example, Allentown, Pennsylvania has had a community band constantly going since before the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
As you come to the Midwest with the grand tradition of Germanic cultures, Scandinavian cultures, there are... I would love people to come to our group, but there are many, many other opportunities in the immediate area that they can play in. And, of course,
great.
That's the goal of all our music educators, right? Whether the person is going to be a professional musician or not, that they continue playing throughout
mm-hmm.
their lives.
Mm-hmm. Dean Hines-Walker, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yes.
Right. So you come to Parkside. You've been here. What are the things that over your 10-year here at Parkside, what are the things that have maybe surprised you or that you look at and go, wow, that's a really interesting development for the university and for the community and how the community interacts with the university and the fine arts? What are some of those things that come to mind?
Well, we've just been talking about them. I do think that the community orchestra, the community band, the choral ensemble, I think that that's just fabulous. And that we've figured out a way to make that sustainable
mm-hmm.
as well. And it's just wonderful to have, you know, to have the community come. I mean, I see Laura's bands. I see Alvaro's band, our orchestra,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Kinchin as well. So I think that is something that I was surprised about, the level of support that the university gives mm-hmm. To these music
mm-hmm.
Supports music in this way. I'm also, again, just to talk about music, I'm also very impressed by our music faculty who spend a lot of time in the high schools, mm-hmm. giving clinics, mm-hmm. working with high school students. So there's a real ecosystem here at Parkside, or we're part of that ecosystem that we have to cultivate these young musicians. We want to support the high schools. We want them to come here, and then we want them to continue after they graduate. So to me, that's higher education in a sort of nutshell, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important that we shepherd them here, that we give them that good education, but they continue with lifelong learning afterwards.
Right.
So I think I think Jazz Week is another example of something that I just think, again, is wonderful for our students, but it's also a gift to the community. So it's both
yeah.
that you know, it's that give and take that I've been really, really impressed by. And I could name examples in the art department. I could name examples in the theater department as well. I think I'll should I leave it there. Is that good enough for now?
Well, it certainly is. You know, anyone who's been out to, if you haven't been out to Parkside to be someone who's listening to a concert or participating in a concert or looking at an art exhibit or being part of a theater production. I mean, the facilities are second to none.
Extraordinary
facilities, and the opportunity to come out and experience arts at a very high level for a very reasonable cost is amazing here.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing that I would like to mention is that we do have lots of supporters here at Parkside. And one of those supporters is a part of Jazz Week, and that is Dave Braun.
Yeah.
And Dave is underwriting the final event of Jazz Week, and that's the a concert by Henry Johnson. Mm-hmm. So, and he's typically also done that. He'll underwrite that. He works for SC Wisconsin Hearing Center.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is a musician himself, he and his family. You can see them on Friday night at the
Hobnob. Friday nights at the Hobnob.
Come in for fish fry and hear Dave and his family play some good jazz.
Right.
So the support of the community, and that support is in terms of fandom, but it's also support in terms of dollars. So that's also been something that I've been very pleased by and touched by, the support from our local communities.
Yeah. Well, we're very fortunate to have both of you here at UW Parkside and both of you here in the community, Dr. Leslie Hines Walker, who's Dean of the College of Arts and Humanities at UW Parkside, and Dr. Laura Rexroth, Assistant Professor in the Music Department. Thank you for your time today. Thanks for being on Parkside today.
You're welcome.
And thank you, John.